From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding emergency detentions under Wisconsin state statutes and the legislative impact of Chapter 51. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, this is primarily an informational item to alert you to the progress that has been made related to legislative actions that we are pursuing through the state-designated Speaker's Task Force on Behavioral Health. Thank you to Supervisor West for initially introducing us to one of the representatives who expressed an interest in this. Representative then forwarded our interest on to members of the subcommittee. And essentially what we're trying to accomplish is changing state statute as it relates to who has the ability to detain under Chapter 51. The state of Wisconsin is very much behind the curve in terms of who has the ability to detain, to initiate an emergency detention under Chapter 51. In the state of Wisconsin, it is only law enforcement that is allowed to initiate an emergency detention. You'll see in the body of the report some of the ramifications of that policy. So the reason that we're trying to get this legislation passed is really twofold. One, first and foremost, it's our contention that act unnecessarily criminalizes and stigmatizes individuals who have a behavioral health disorder, in that it becomes a law enforcement issue when they become symptomatic, and as a result of their becoming symptomatic, they become dangerous. We would submit that the ability to determine dangerousness based on a mental illness should be placed in the hands of individuals who are trained in that evaluation and that diagnosis. I've said this in front of the Police Chiefs Association, and they all agree that people don't go to the police academy to learn how to diagnose, to learn how to do psychiatric evaluations, to learn how to interpret Chapter 51 in a way that makes it an emergency detention that will make it through probable cause. We have clinicians that do that day in and day out that are members of our mobile crisis team. So essentially what we're proposing is members of our mobile crisis team be given that authority to detain. So that's kind of the first bucket or the first and primary reason. The second reason is, as part of the mental health redesign in Milwaukee County, a major goal is to reduce the number of emergency detentions. It's a well-known fact that there are a disproportionately large number of emergency detentions in Milwaukee County. Our mobile crisis team is exceedingly effective in developing alternatives to emergency detentions. It's far, far more preferable to engage someone in treatment voluntarily than to place them in handcuffs and drag them out to our emergency room and then force them to be admitted into the hospital. It's far more preferable to engage them in that therapeutic process and to get them to agree to whatever level of care is appropriate on a voluntary basis. You see some of the data on the mobile crisis team results of their interventions. Currently, as it stands, law enforcement utilizes the mobile team on a regular basis. When they are presented with questions or with situations that they question whether or not they meet criteria for emergency detention, the mobile crisis team, when they respond to those cases, in 88% of the time, they come up with voluntary alternatives. So, again, they're very effective at engaging them in the therapeutic process to try to develop alternatives to emergency detention. So, essentially where this legislation is at is it's at the point where it's going to be presented I have, just as I was texting back and forth, a teleconference this afternoon now scheduled with one of the state representatives who is sponsoring this bill. I'd like to be able to say that I presented it at Health and Human Needs Committee today and that there was a positive response. Representative Pash, she's the co-chair of the committee.
Okay. Supervisor Taylor, Supervisor Weishaupt, and then Supervisor Stamper.
Madam Chair, I believe the board, we have a policy on what we go to Madison and lobby on. Mm-hmm. And what we, you know, so I don't recall this being in front of intergovernmental or the county board saying this is our policy and we want to support this. I would like to know why our BHD people are planning on traveling to Madison and testifying or doing something that has not been approved by Milwaukee County, our board, that we want them doing that.
You are correct in that this has gone a little bit backwards, and we did acknowledge that in agenda setting, and so we will be taking the proper steps and putting forward a resolution and IGR to go ahead and to finalize our view on this. However, Mr. Kubitschek has presented two IGR in both, I believe, the early and the kind of middle stages of this. So we were waiting for everything to come together. And so now that it seems as if the ball is rolling, we will finalize it with a resolution.
Just a follow-up, Madam Chair. I do think this is a major change, and I don't, it's involuntary. You know, I know the word voluntary was thrown out there, but the fact is the reason law enforcement detains people, they have the, police powers, that you have a due process, you have a system that that regulates that. And if those powers abuse that authority, there's a way to address that. I could see that there's, potentially some, civil rights kind of type issues that could come up. And I think before we go and say we want this, that some type of legal review and what kind of responsibilities would Milwaukee County be taking on when we support something, because this is, about forcing people to do something that they, we're imprisoning these people. We're saying that, we've, as society, have decided there's something wrong with you, and you may not agree, and we're going to make you go get treatment for it. So I would like to know, more extensive legal background on this before we go rush to say that we support this.
And as the report outlines, this isn't a change essentially in emergency detention. This is a change in who will now provide the consultation that will allow for emergency detention. So previously, you're right, it was law enforcement, but now kind of the consensus and the way that they're doing it, and if I'm correct, in other states is that a medical professional will now make that determination versus law enforcement. So it doesn't increase.
It's not versus, Madam Chair.
It's not versus. It's in addition to. Yeah, so it actually adds another layer of protection for our consumers, because if you don't agree with the rendering that's done by law enforcement, you now have the secondary ability to go in to discuss it with a medical professional. And so it doesn't change the laws regarding emergency detention. It just adds that extra assurance, if you will, that a medical professional also believes and deems this person to be in need of an emergency detention. And so an emergency detention generally is made when a person threatens harm to either themselves or to someone else. So it's not as if I can call and say, hey, you know, Supervisor Steve Taylor's acting a little crazy today. Let's, you know, call and see if we can get him admitted and, you know, sign off some paperwork and do that. You know, there has to be documentation that, you know, all of the right things are in place in order to do that. So I think it's important to decipher that.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. That I guess that's the presentation that's missing here. I don't see that from my reading of what was given to us in our packet today. Is that authority to detain people for behavioral health issues will be given to behavioral health professionals, and that those people will have that, you could say, police power to detain somebody, to stop them, and saying, instead of you going home or wherever you want to go, you will be forced to go to a mental health facility, and you will be kept there against your will, if that is the thing. And I think that's a major shift, at least if there's something different. I don't believe that it's required that, at least from what I've read here, that you would require both the police and a mental health professional to agree, it is right. That's what I mean. If a mental health professional decides that yes, you know, Supervisor Weishaupt needs to be detained, they would have the authority to do that. Where under our current system, at least from what I understand, is that the police would require a violation of the law. And they would say, you broke these laws, and you know you need to get some help.
Yeah, that is not correct.
Well, then,
Mr. Kubitschek, do you want to clear that up?
I appreciate your concern, because it's a concern that I shared as well. We are intentionally wanting to limit the authority to initiate an emergency detention to only treatment director or treatment director designees, as designated by the entity, as designated by the county. We are not advocating by any stretch of the imagination broadening this out to anyone other than that. The due process, Supervisor or Chairman West is exactly accurate. All the due process components of Chapter 51 remain absolutely intact. What we're only talking about is making that determination to initiate an emergency detention essentially more informed and based on a psychiatric evaluation versus a law enforcement evaluation. They are not arrested. They are not placed in jail. They are not imprisoned. They're placed in a psychiatric hospital. So,
well, the idea is you are being placed in whatever facility, whether it is a prison or a mental health institution, you are being placed in some type of facility against your will. And that's where, like I said, I would, as a cleric, you know, I just think we need more information to actually explain this, because from the two pages that I have here, I don't feel comfortable fully understanding this issue. And I definitely don't want somebody going to Madison and saying we support something, and then we find out down the road that it was not in our best interest because we only had a paper and a half.
And I do apologize. I want to just state for the record that this subject has been before this committee several times. And so I did inadvertently forget that there are new members to the committee. This, is, again, has also been before IGR at least once, and I thought twice. So I apologize, because I went forward with the opinion that people were pretty well versed on this. It is something that the WCA is supporting. We were just up in Madison last week lobbying our legislators. And I do have a position paper on it I can get for you, Supervisor Weishaupt. Again, it's not changing really any of the guidelines for emergency detention, other than adding the or to the medical professional. So it can be a law enforcement or/and a medical professional. And so that was kind of what, again, what people believed that was missing from this process was a medical professional. And again, this is being done in almost, I think we're one of the last states yes. to change our emergency detention to reflect this.
And the Madam Chair, Supervisors, the Corp Counsel has been with us the whole way. In fact, they drafted the proposed legislative language. Again, underline the word draft because the legislature does the final language. But Corp Counsel has been with us the whole way. And I do want to go back and kind of reemphasize the point about the infringement on individuals' will. That this is not exclusively, it's one of the primary tenets of this legislation is to increase that choice and to provide choice in all situations where it's appropriate. That is the focus of that, making that a clinical intervention versus a law enforcement intervention creates the emphasis on maximizing that choice and creating the emphasis on trying to get them into whatever level of care is appropriate voluntarily. Overall, all the mobile crisis contacts, 95% of those result in voluntary alternatives. So it's overwhelmingly effective in generating alternatives to emergency detention.
Supervisor Weishan.
You keep on using the word voluntary. It's like, okay. Yeah, I don't. The language, it clearly says involuntary detention. I don't know how we switch that. You detain somebody for a certain amount of time, and then eventually they say, yeah, okay, I'll agree to what you want me to do. I mean that.
So I've
is that then voluntary? I don't.
A prior.
Kubitschek.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, in a prior life, I was on the mobile crisis team. And I've conducted thousands of these interventions, thousands of these evaluations. As a clinician, your role in that evaluation is to determine the appropriate level of care. What is appropriate and safest for this individual in terms of what type of care that they're going to receive? So as a clinician, your job is to try to engage them in treatment voluntarily up to the point where it's apparent that voluntary alternatives are no longer viable. It's at that point that we are proposing to have that clinician give be given the capacity to detain that individual. What happens then is we know that emergency detention is going to be required based on psychiatric evaluation. We know that there's going to be somebody that shows up at a probable cause hearing. We know that there's a much higher likelihood that person will benefit and would only benefit from involuntary treatment versus voluntary treatment.
Thank you.
I don't have I guess the problem is at least that I have is that one, I don't feel that this legislation in general has been given enough time for us to understand and the ramifications of it. I really don't feel like shelling out a ton of money for some lawsuit from someone who feels they were inappropriately detained and stuff like that. I'm asking for more information and a process that, I just find it quite frustrating that if this is such a important issue to our society and our community that somehow it couldn't be brought before this board in a timely manner so that we could issue a county policy and say this is what we want and this is what we want to support. It's just courtesy. I've not, follow the process. And then we don't get these committees like this where it's like, all I know is I've read two sheets of paper here and have lots of questions, and this is about a major change in how, we deal with people's civil rights and how they interact in our society, and I think it needs a little bit more. I have no other questions, so you can feel free to move on to the next item if you like, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And again, Ms. Supervisor Weishan, I apologize that you feel like we haven't received enough information on this. It's something, again, that's been before this committee several times as well as in front of IGR. And so, and was actually looked into by Mr. Kubitschek at my suggestion, knowing that there are other states in the United States that are doing this. All right. Is there any other comments or questions on item number 11, Supervisor Stemper?
Thank you. In regards to the mobile crisis team, currently, aren't there healthcare professionals on that team that can recommend an involuntary versus a voluntary? You can't. It has to always be involuntary.
They don't have the ability to write the petition, to write the detention. Only law enforcement has that ability to write the petition.
Okay, so the team, let's say the team is out and they go apprehend an individual, and it's a situation where they need to be detained.
Yes.
To the hospital, not to jail. What would happen?
There is a law enforcement officer on the mobile team.
Right.
There is a law enforcement officer on the mobile team, and that is proposed to be expanded in 2014. If the mobile clinician has made the determination that a detention is indicated, this is another benefit that I didn't talk about, is the language in the statute says can transport or cause to be transported. What that means is there's choice.
Hey, Schmidt, be quiet, man.
What that means is there's choice. That means that it could be law enforcement that initiates the transportation. It could be paramedic that initiates the transportation. It could be that team themselves in certain situations if it's determined to be safe. So there doesn't have to necessarily be law enforcement that's providing the transport. However, in cases where there's an issue of safety, then what would happen in those kind of situations is it probably would be law enforcement. We would opt primarily for a paramedic transport in those kind of situations.
So do they listen to the healthcare professional's recommendation?
To who?
The law enforcement on the team.
They can.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always.
Okay. Okay, but the new team that's been proposed has a trained law enforcement is trained under psychiatric.
Madam Chair, psychiatric. The mobile team has been around for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, there's a new law enforcement person on the team that's supposed to have training on this type of, you know, on healthcare, on individuals, on psychiatric help.
The law enforcement officer that we were lucky enough to get on our mobile team actually is an RN.
Right.
And there's just one of them.
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
I don't know how many times we could get lucky enough to find an officer who's also an RN.
But somebody's getting trained though, right?
Yeah, we continue. Madam Chair, Supervisors, we continue. No, there's only one now. There's a second that's in the 14 budget.
Right.
So we also do CIT training. I train recruits. So there's a lot of training that takes place with law enforcement. However, these are kind of snapshot trainings. Even for CIT, it's a 40-hour training. When we train the recruit class, it's a morning. So they don't have nearly the required amount of training to diagnose and to do those kind of risk assessments required for this type of evaluation.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions on item number 11? And I do believe that this will be in front of us on Friday in our IGR. I thought so. All right. Item number 12.